Part 6. Ecclesia Pistis Sophia. You know perhaps the aphorisms from the Pharma Fraternitatis that appeared on the tomb of CRET. One of these aphorisms was, "There is no empty space." The classical Rosicrucians wished to indicate covertly that besides the visible, partially known universe, other universes exist. There are different cosmic regions which, although very near, are invisible and unknown to human understanding, and which are also unknown to the dead, and so inaccessible to them. Consequently, they are considered as empty space for everyone in dialectics. It is also known to us that the ancient Gnostics quoted from tenets that made reference to universes which are unknown to ordinary man. Their aim was the exploration of the path of salvation, whereby man would change to such an extent in his nature and existence that the unknown, the apparently empty space, would open up for him. The Gnostics teach that the invisible universes are our true divine fatherland. They are our origin and our destination. Now we live in night and darkness. We have fallen from the nature of God, and so the call to return resounds. The so-called empty space takes on a very deep and profound sense to everyone who desires this return and attunes his striving to this call. Valentinus, a Gnostic philosopher of the beginning of our era, the author of the Gnostic gospel Pistis Sophia, explained the unknown divine worlds to his pupils. He called the empty, unknown spaces of God the Pleroma. He proved that an outpouring of power takes place from the Pleroma into our darkness to enable all those who truly seek the regions of God to find them. The modern Gnostic spiritual school, the Lectorium Rosicrucianum, also conveys the same imperishable doctrines concerning actual natural scientific appearance that have an effect upon us. It explains them in a language we can understand. It explains the emanations that issue from the Pleroma from the living presence of electromagnetic appearances. Yet however modern all this may sound in our time, it is always the same imperishable truth that is conveyed to mankind, irrespective of whether it was heard at the beginning of our era or now. Yet there is always a new Gnostic sound audible during the course of time, because the emanation from the eternal divine powers always finds other situations in time. Indeed, time does not leave world and mankind undisturbed. Everything is subjected to change, for the entire nature of death, with everything it contains, corrodes, crystallizes, perishes in ever thicker veils of night, in almost eternal changing and rotations of the wheel. That is why the emanations of the Pleroma, although they themselves remain unchanged, always find a totally different world on their arrival in the night. Consequently, different methods of applying the divine emanations are always necessary. Mankind must be seized in different ways time and again, so that the eternal path of practical salvation can be unsealed in each situation and at all times. We discover in world history how the outpouring of the divine Pleroma manifests itself as two streams. Each stream has a positive and a negative aspect. This is the reason why in the ancient story of paradise, four streams flowing through the original Eden are mentioned. In our terminology, we speak of two different electromagnetic streams. Valentinus spoke of the Pistis and the Sophia. One stream is indicated as the stream of knowledge, the Pistis, the other as the stream of wisdom, the Sophia. One stream associates itself entirely with the prevailing human knowledge of each era, permitting the great masses to discover this emanation and causing them to react to it. The other stream holds itself entirely aloof from this world. It radiates into this world only to permit the individual seeker of God, who finally escapes the Pistis of nature, to find the Sophia. Have you discovered how splendid and marvelous this method is? The emanation of the Pistis manifests itself with great power, pours itself out over mankind. Because it can be perceived, it causes a violent commotion among mankind, for the Pistis is like a bomb that explodes. Although it can be known, adapts itself and puts on the garment of time and space, the pistis evokes an antithesis. It exposes mankind's sin and its very questionable morals. It indicates another way, a way clothed in mists and abstractions, declaring itself in generalities. For the pistis, the first stream that emanates from the divine pleroma, has no other task than to agitate, cause an explosion and violent unrest among mankind. When unrest and agitation arise, and they certainly come, a violent conflict follows between the pistis on the one hand and the sophia on the other, between knowledge and true wisdom, between the two divine emanations. It is precisely the intention of the two co-operating emanations to seize man in the mind through knowledge, to shock mankind out of its self-assurance and lead it in the direction of true wisdom. The pistis must indeed become the sophia, so that one may be able to speak in one breath of the pistis sophia, of the two divine emanations which have become one. This is why we see during the course of time how an external manifestation of the divine brotherhood appears again and again as a messenger to found a religion. When this religion begins to take shape, it divides into a greater or lesser number of sects. That is splendid and positive, although many fulminate against it. This fulmination in itself is also good, for it points to the effect of a magnetic power of the primary emanation of the pleroma, the pistis, which unceasingly makes itself known to mankind in 1001 forms. In this way, the whole of mankind is not left in peace, but is seized by the pistis. In spite of the possible stupid and negative human reactions, the divine emanation of the pistis works through all of this. It seizes everyone wherever he may be. Everywhere in the world, the foci of the pistis are to be found by the hundreds of thousands, and the communities that collect there are usually at complete variance with one another. They continuously wage war on one another, and to this very day, the West sends its missionaries to the East, and the East its representatives to the West. One unrestrained, wild reaction to the pistis. However chaotic they appear to be, these reactions are in reality not at all chaotic, but in fact are very reasonable. They are defined by the atmosphere around us, by the degree of latitude and longitude of the respective countries, by the angle of incidence of the light, and by the types and racial bodies which result. Furthermore, it is logical that a pure intellectual reaction follows the touch of the pistis. Some persons react spontaneously, emotionally. Others react mentally from the beginning. When the mentally directed persons undergo the touch of the pistis, they begin to consider it. It is in this way, in the multifarity of its aspects, that theological science has arisen. A theologian is a specialist with respect to the knowledge mankind has gathered under the influence of the primary emanation. He is a specialist because he has made a choice from the multitude of appearances. He is a Christian, a Mohammedan, a Buddhist, a Brahmin, or some other sort of theologian. If he is a Christian theologian, one must specify to which of the many Christian sects he belongs. The Christian church in general is a collection of countless different churches which are in daily conflict. From time to time, they convene a conference during which they declare together that Christ is the head of the world. However, as soon as these colleagues ask each other how the head of the world should be confessed, the most violent, embittered conflict immediately explodes. Do you realize that precisely this struggle of the theological parties is the purpose of the stimulating emanation of the pistis? The aim is to drive mankind time and again to the extremity of its pitiful mental faculty. Servants of the pistis can do no more than seek salvation, but in their present state of being they will never be able to find it. That is why millions of church spires rise up, which, like arms in despair, try to grasp hold of salvation. The only answer Christ, the head of the world, gives them is, "My kingdom is not of this world. Go, sell all you have and follow me." Indeed, to what does the pistis point? To the Sophia. But who or what is the Sophia? It is the other divine emanation that accompanies the pistis. It is the true, unassailable wisdom, the wisdom which, without making any concessions, issues from the Pleroma of God. This Sophia takes shape in the Gnostic spiritual schools of all times. Therefore, in these schools of the Gnosis, we find the same Sophia, the same wisdom, the same way, the same truth, and the same life. Regardless whether the seekers come from this or that community, whether they are colored brown, red, or white, whether they come from Buddhist, the Mohammedan, or Christian ranks, they are taught by the one Sophia and purified by the one Sophia. They submerge to rebirth in the one Sophia. Whoever wishes to receive proof of this, whoever wishes to clasp Ariadne's clue tightly, let him pay attention and investigate. The Gnosis was and is, through all times, invariably the same. It points unalterably to the same way, and it always speaks the same language. As you know, the turbulent, struggling, and seeking sects in the pistis call themselves churches. Now, this word has two meanings. On the one hand, a church is a community of people who are like-minded with respect to a certain theological interpretation of the pistis. On the other hand, a church is a true house of God, a focus of emanations from the divine universe. Two kinds of such foci exist: a house of God as a focus of the first emanation, the pistis, and therefore a place of disturbance, of striving to the border of mental knowledge, and a house of God as a focus of the second emanation, the Sophia, in which the serenity, the golden radiance, the freedom, the love, and the power of the divine glory and of the Holy Spirit are enthroned. So you will realize with us that the Gnostic spiritual school has the right extended by the Holy Spirit to call itself a church in a twofold sense. It is a focus for those who are driven to consciousness by the pistis, realizing their poverty with the cognitive faculty of nature. They are cleansed and purified by the fire of the Trigonum Igneum, the fiery triangle, in order to enter afterwards into the freedom of the divine Sophia. That is why the Gnostic spiritual school is the Ecclesia Pistis Sophia, the one universal church which acknowledges and confesses Christ as the head of the world, accepts all the related consequences, and conquers by him and through him. Let us once more direct our attention to the two emanations which come from the Pleroma. The pistis awakens and propels the movements of the masses and influences the human intellect very powerfully, while the Sophia, the second emanation, directs itself to the exceptionals in order to save them from the nature of death and lift them up into the regions of the Pleroma. It does not direct itself to the ordinary lower intellect of man in the manner of the first emanation, but it directs itself to the as yet unopened soul. The Sophia intends to awaken the new soul state, the new soul consciousness in the exceptionals. When a magnetic stream of the Gnosis directs itself towards this world, it is inevitable that a variety of very special phenomena will become apparent. Not only will the individual react to them, but people cannot do otherwise than to create groups to react collectively to the values and powers that manifest themselves. Also, they feel the need to organize meeting places and to worship, a workshop, a focus specially prepared as a meeting point for the emanation and the reacting person. Since the very first divine intervention into the nature of death, such workshops have been founded and prepared, and this will continue as long as it is necessary. In this way, the churches were formed, and they are in essence houses of God, foci of the pistis. However abundant the symptoms of the degeneration of the church may seem, if the church is used as a meeting place for mystically inclined people, the emanation of the pistis will strike and disturb them even through the densest veils. We also spoke to you of the Gnostic Universal Church, the Ecclesia Pistis Sophia, the community that recognizes and confesses Christ as the head of the world. Accepting all the consequences of this, it conquers through him to an absolute liberation. Now, no one must think that we make a special declaration by associating the modern spiritual school with the idea church. It is quite possible that some of you may be depressed on hearing this, for there are indeed many pupils who have had to struggle with great difficulty and sorrow to free themselves from the churches of the Pistis. That is why you should know that all the preceding Gnostic brotherhoods have called themselves churches, but then as churches that devoted themselves completely to the Sophia, so that every tired pilgrim might become a real Pistis Sophia. Therefore, it is with reason that the modern spiritual school will present itself to the public increasingly as the Lectorium Rosicrucianum Ecclesia Pistis Sophia. On the 1st of September 1954, the school has been allowed to receive the inheritance of the preceding brotherhood. To this inheritance belongs also the mandate to continue the work as the Ecclesia Pistis Sophia, a mandate we have completely accepted. It will be clear to you that before receiving this inheritance, we were for a long time engaged in vivifying the values of this inheritance in order to become worthy of it. The preceding brotherhood, the Trinity of Light, formed partly by the Brotherhood of the Cathars, a name derived from a Greek word that means pure or clean, and which later was corrupted to heretic, had established a Gnostic realm in Europe. In Haarlem, the center of the Rosicrucian Brotherhood was domiciled in the little village of Bakenes, situated just within the city walls, and the site of the temple of the Lectorium Rosicrucianum at Haarlem, the Netherlands, corresponds exactly with the old focus of this brotherhood. The foci of the Brotherhood of the Cathars were to be found in the Balkans, especially in Bosnia, also in Upper Italy, especially in the province of Brescia, in France, especially in the south. They maintained a regular ecclesiastical hierarchy, and the rites of the Church of the Cathars are described in many books. What did the preceding brotherhood mean by hierarchy? The word hierarchy means an order of preference, so we speak of a military hierarchy and also of a priestly hierarchy. But a hierarchical body in the original Gnostic meaning is something entirely different. It indicates a life apparatus organized down to the smallest details. Therefore, a living body with the help of which the emanation of the Sophia could surround all who were incorporated into it. A living body with the help of which the Sophia, coming from the Pleroma of the universal life, could be received and assimilated by all who were gathered in this body. This living body was not only an ordinary meeting place where the magnetic collectivity of all those present experienced a touch, that was perhaps enough for the churches of the Pistis. In the body of the Sophia and other consecrated places of the teaching of the preceding brotherhood, the touch of the Sophia became an outpouring by means of Gnostic scientific laws and by applied Gnostic magic. This outpouring could drive towards a process, and the process to the way of the rose and the cross, and the way of the rose and the cross to a trigonum igneum, and the trigonum igneum to a recreative fire upon the place of the skull. In this way, resurrection into the new life field could take place. Such a hierarchical body is not an order of administrations, but a well-prepared organism formed out of the being of the Gnosis, with the help of which the great holy work can be accomplished. Such a Gnostic living body contains the elements of all the Gnostic mysteries, the characteristics of a spiritual school, the glory of an Ecclesia Pistis Sophia. Such a body was spread out by the preceding brotherhood over the whole of Europe, so that all true seekers might really find the Sophia in that vastly confused rotation of the Pistis. Or, expressed mystically, the preceding brotherhood has prepared the heavenly bride for all who came to it. This living body was as the heavenly ship that carried all those pure ones, all those Cathars, into an entirely new course of life. Also consider everything you have struggled through and built up in the modern spiritual school. Then you know that we have been engaged for a long time in vivifying the classical work of the Brothers of the Sophia, namely, the building of a hierarchical body in a Gnostic sense, a living body, a bride of the Lord, an Ecclesia Pistis Sophia, an ark, a heavenly ship. You know that you have all found a place there as living cells, that this body shows several organic structures. The hierarchical body has become complete, and we have taken our places within it. Thus, you have all become members of this living body, members of the Ecclesia Pistis Sophia. This organism has become alive by the grace of the Gnosis. Life has been given to the modern Gnostic hierarchy from above. Everything has been made ready. The workshop is minutely equipped with complete instrumentation. The ancient alchemical kitchen is present with all the retorts and the fire burns in the oven. Everything is in readiness to forge the pistis within us into the Sophia. In the mercy of the Sophia stream from the Pleroma, we will place our lives completely in service of the life, and thus, from below, upwards, intelligently, with our new soul quality, vivify the Ecclesia Pistis Sophia. We will take our places according to hierarchical lines. We will not allow ourselves to be lived and shall not be satisfied to hold our hands together and speak in mystical rapture. We thank you, Lord, but we will live the life that is granted to us from above. We will live dynamically as true cleansed ones, as brothers and sisters of the Rosy Cross. In this way, the Sophia and its mercy is spread again as a Gnostic realm over the world, as the manifestation of the great work of the sevenfold Gnostic world brotherhood, the Lectorium Rosicrucianum, Ecclesia Pistis. Sophia will really live if we live with him.